ask you to remain standing as we direct our attention now to our
scripture lesson found in Luke chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, please feel free to turn there with me or to take a pew Bible as we are following Jesus along the way that leads there from Jerusalem to Calvary. Jesus is making his way to the upper room where he will celebrate the Passover with his disciples. And so we read, beginning with verse 7, these words recorded for us by Luke. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. Lord Jesus, we have come to this room, and we desire to hear your instruction, to hear your words, and to eat at the table. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would minister to us tonight greatly. We might find ourselves by faith in that room, addressed by you, nourished by you, taught by you, loved by you. We remember all these things, and we ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, in our remembrance, that they would be present and true and real to us now. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. No one has yet believed in God and the kingdom of God. No one has yet heard about the realm of the resurrected and not been homesick from that hour, waiting and looking forward joyfully to being released from bodily existence. Whether we are young or old makes no difference. What are 20 or 30 or 50 years in the sight of God? And which of us knows how near he or she may already be to the goal? Why are we so afraid when we think about death? Death is only dreadful for those who live in dread and fear of it. Death is not wild and terrible. If only we can be still and hold fast to God's word. Death is not bitter if we have not become bitter ourselves. How do we know that dying is so dreadful? Who knows whether in our human fear and anguish we are only shivering and shuddering at the most glorious, heavenly, blessed event in the world? Death is hell and night and cold if it is not transformed by faith. The hour has come. And a young German Lutheran pastor climbs into his pulpit in London to share these words of hope to his congregation. The gospel must be preached. It must do its work, preparing the world for the hour that must come for us all. For the hour will come. Death will come. It came for Dietrich Bonhoeffer many years later at the Flossenbürg prison in Germany. But when that hour came, it came to one who had faith. Faith in the one who faced that hour for us long ago. The hour is coming. But first, the meal. Luke tells us that the disciples are assembled with Jesus, reclined at table as they celebrate the Passover. This will be the last meal that they will share together as the hour of death approaches. They do not yet understand this. That hour will come soon. But this is the hour to eat. And Jesus says to his disciples, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The hour has come, and with it comes great desire. Jesus speaks earnestly, emphatically, even redundantly. Jesus has desiring desire, Luke writes, that he might eat this meal with his disciples. The hour creates an acute desire on the part of our Lord. His desire is born in part in response to the physical danger. The chief priests and scribes are seeking a way to put Jesus to death. They only need a moment, a small opening, a brief window in which they might capture Jesus and send him to his mortal end. Judas has it in its heart to betray his master. He's conferred with the priests and the officers how he might hand Jesus to them. He only needs the slightest bit of information, a location for where they will gather. He only needs a moment, and the deed will be done. Then Jesus will be in the hands of the authorities, and the silver will be in the hands of Judas. The hour has come. But Jesus does not shrink back from the danger. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Before I suffer. The Father desires it too. So great is the desire of God that he orders history itself to bend to the purposes of his will. The disciples must eat with Jesus. They must do so free of danger, free of distraction, free of interruption. And so God sovereignly arranges for a room, a space, men to worship. He sovereignly moves on the heart of a man to prepare a place for them. He sovereignly calls this man to carry a jar of water at the gates of the city, exactly at the moment the disciples arrive. So great is the desire of God that Jesus meet with his disciples. The danger is great, but the desire of God is greater. It is greater still because the physical danger is nothing in comparison to the spiritual danger of their souls. The hour has come for the Passover meal. It is the great memorial meal in which all of Israel remembers the bondage and slavery they endured in Egypt. It is the meal which reminds the people of God of their bondage to decay and slavery to sin. It is the meal which prepares them for the tragedy of separation. What life looks like outside of covenant union with God. The desire of Jesus is great. For the angel of death will come to mete out the justifying judgment of a holy God. His desire is born in response to the danger and the need for blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And God has given it for us on the altar to make atonement for our sins. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. The lamb must be slain, and the blood of the lamb must be placed over the door of anyone who hopes for salvation. This desire is born out of the need for atonement, the covering of our sin by the blood of the lamb, so that it is hidden from the sight of God. It is hidden, but it is not forgotten. Sin cannot just be covered. It must be removed. The justice of God demands it. The scriptures teach that each one shall die for his own sin. But the blood of bulls and lambs and goats can never remove the injustice of our betrayal. What can be done? Who will save us? The hour has come, and Jesus said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The hour brings with it desire, but also opportunity. Now is the opportunity for Jesus to teach, to inform, to transform. Jesus looks upon his disciples and tells them, the hour has come, and the kingdom of God is coming too. This is the hour he has longed for. This is the hour the Father has prescribed, even before the foundation of the earth. It is the hour whereby his disciples might enter into the life of God and of his Christ. Remember, Jesus says, remember the Passover and the signs of your deliverance. Remember the bread of your affliction. It is the bread of slavery made with great haste and in the distress of oppression. Remember the commandment to observe the bread and to eat it and to recall the day long ago when God delivered his people out of the hands of their oppressors. Remember the blood. It was shed over the lentils of the house, but it is also the blood of the covenant. Remember Moses, who took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Remember when he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And the people said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. Remember when Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words. But remember how the covenant was broken again and again. And again, by an obstinate and stiff-necked people, they were far from obedient. Remember the divisions, the dissensions, the betrayals. Remember the failures and how the covenant was broken, never by God, but always by his people. But now the hour has come, and there is great opportunity. The hour has come when God will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that he made with their fathers on the day when he took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, his covenant that they broke, though he was their husband. The hour has come for a new covenant with the house of Israel, where God will put his law within his people, and he will write it on their hearts. And he will be our God, and we shall be his people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. For we shall all know him, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For he will forgive our iniquity, and he will remember our sins no more. The hour has come. Jesus speaks to his disciples, saying, this bread and all that it means for God and the people of God, this bread is my body, broken, given to you. This bread is the bread of your affliction. This is the bread of your slavery. It is the bread of your alienation and death. It is yours. but now it is mine. I earnestly desire to become this bread for you, so that you might eat of it and not taste the bitterness of affliction and death, but the joy of your deliverance through me. This cup and all that it means for God and the people of God, this cup that is poured out for you is the blood of the new covenant established in my blood. I earnestly desire to pour it out, my blood for you, my life for you, so that you might drink of this cup and not taste the curse of a broken covenant, but the blessing of covenant faithfulness through me. The hour has come, and I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The hour brings with it strong desire, a desire to meet with us because of the danger that threatens our lives, our souls. There is a desire for freedom and atonement and salvation by God. And so the hour brings opportunity, an opportunity to teach and to transform these common objects into the very means of grace. The hour brings with it also an invitation. We are invited to eat the bread. We are invited to drink the cup. It is a strong invitation, animated by Jesus' earnest desire. So strong is his desire for his disciples that Jesus' invitation even includes a confrontation. Behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Many will hear these words and believe that Jesus has just passed judgment on Judas, declaring that his personal woe is now determined and fixed. No, what is fixed is the woe upon a betrayer. But there is still hope for Judas, even at the table. There in the upper room, Jesus is not passing judgment, but offering an invitation to a sinner. An invitation filled with grace and truth. It is by grace that Jesus offers bread to the betrayer. It is by grace that he offers the cup. It is grace to hear and to see both the justice and the love of God on display at the table. But the truth and the life-changing power of this meal must be accepted by faith. It must be eaten by those who love him and who by faith are willing to follow him, even to the cross. Sadly, not all who eat the bread or drink the cup will know the fullness of the kingdom of God. The hour has come. And with it, an invitation by Almighty God. Jesus invites his disciples to eat the bread, to drink the cup, and to know a life of salvation and freedom in his kingdom. Jesus invites us who regularly betray him to see the table, to hear the gospel proclaimed, and to reevaluate our way of life. Jesus invites us to this table. How will we come to him? How will we receive the bread? How will we receive the cup? The hour has come, and Jesus earnestly desires to eat this meal with us. The hour has come, and the gospel must be preached, and we are invited to trust Christ and his death for our lives. The gospel in word preached and in the sacraments given must do its work preparing us for the hour that must come to us all. For the hour will come. Death will come. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was held captive at Teagle Prison. He wrote a poem he entitled Stations on the Road to Freedom. It is a poem that gives evidence of faith in the one who faced that hour for us long ago. I offer the poem to you tonight as a path that leads us to the cross and leads us to meet with Christ as we come to his table tonight. Bonhoeffer wrote, "Discipline. If you set out to seek freedom, then learn above all things to govern your soul and your senses, for fear that your passions and longing may lead you away from the path you should follow. Chaste be your mind and your body, both in subjection, obediently, steadfastly seeking the aim set before them. Only through discipline may a man learn to be free. Action, daring to do what is right, not what fancy may tell you, valiantly grasping occasions, not cravenly doubting. Freedom comes only through deeds, not through thoughts taking wing. Faint not nor fear, but go out to the storm and the action, trusting in God whose commandment you faithfully follow. Freedom, exultant, will become your spirit with joy. Suffering. A change has come indeed. Your hands, so strong and active, are bound. In helplessness now, you see your action is ended. You sigh in relief, your cause committing to stronger hands. So now you may rest contented. Only for one blissful moment could you draw near to touch freedom. Then, that it might be perfected in glory, you gave it to God. Death. Come now, thou greatest of feasts on the journey to freedom eternal. Death. Cast aside all the burdensome chains and demolish the walls of our temporal body, the walls of our souls that are blinded, so that at last we may see that which here remains hidden, freedom. How long we have sought thee in discipline, action, and suffering, dying, we now may behold thee revealed in the Lord. Let us pray. The hour has come and is now here. We find ourselves, Lord, at your table. We are grateful, Lord, for your strong desire, your earnest desire to celebrate this meal with us tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that we might come in the glorious freedom that we have in you. To remember your action, to remember your discipline, to remember your suffering, to remember the life that you gave in order that the bread might indeed be your body, the cup might indeed be filled with your blood, a new covenant might indeed be established for us. Help us to live for you and to you always. Your glory might be known in our lives and in your church, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.